This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
The boys are all back in the basement. Captain Ron, Robert, Otto's in the Christmas decoration room. Chester Fuller sound asleep. Wes is loaded up on his fourth cup of coffee, and we are ready to roll. What's happening, man? You doing all right?
I'm good.
Foot's good today?
I still have the boot on, for those of you asking. There it is.
I de-iced the driveway for you. Much better today, right?
Yeah, get ready, because here comes some more.
I might have thrown my back out. I'm not sure I can take the massive 2 inches of snow we're getting tomorrow.
Look, we had some fun with this last week, and it was fun, right? Agree?
Well, for some. Some got snow. Some sat there and watched the cat play in the backyard with nothing on the ground.
So, specifics aside... we're expected here in the Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, Carolinas area to get a little more winter weather.
Snow drifts up to 2 inches.
Last night, they opened all the newscast with 7 minutes at the meteorological desk. The meteorological desk, the weather center, the storm center,
Storm Central.
Winter watch. I'm telling you, we have missed our calling. We should have skewed sports and gone straight to weather.
Let me tell you what I did last night.
We need Harrison Prieto of Florida State to be on this show, by the way.
Let me give you a story.
He could be the Packer and Durham meteorologist.
Last night, radio show ends at 7, right? I go up the 16 steps. Mrs. P's got pinched nerves in her neck and back. She's in miserable shape. It's a mess. Right? It's a mess.
Yeah.
So, but because she loves me so much, she does have some chili waiting for me, right?
I'm like, great. Turkey chili last night? You have a little lean turkey chili?
It was lean.
Chili. Yeah, turkey
lean.
Chili for your Packer wellness plan.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And a salad.
Well.
So.
No bread.
No bread.
Yeah.
I haven't had any bread, no liquor, no sweets.
In 20 days.
It is 20 days.
20 days.
So, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
She's always got Jeopardy on. At 7 o'clock. That's her go-to.
Creature of habit, if nothing else.
Right, and there's some lady, the leader, the champions, won $1.2 million or something.
Right.
But whatever.
Sure.
So I scarfed down the chili, and I said, you know what? I got to go to the grocery store.
Grocery store?
Yeah, because there's some stuff that I need. I need to get some waters for the crew, some more coffee for the crew, some oatmeal nugget kind of things to chew on for breakfast.
Got some of those?
They're right there in the, you know where to find them. So, long story made short. So, I go to the grocery store. Wes, there is nothing in the grocery store. And now, I'm going to go get some waters, some apples, some nuts. I mean, healthy stuff, right?
Yeah, because that's who you are.
That's who I am now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There is nothing. I mean, I go down the water aisle, and there's nothing there but empty shelves. I'm thinking, what is going on?
Did you go to the Taj Mateeter down the street?
5 minutes down the street.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, this is because of the weather people who scare the living, but you know what, out of folks, that everybody stocks up on eggs, milk, water, bread. There's nothing there.
It's crazy.
And now I kept thinking to myself, I'm blaming the weather people as I'm cussing down the aisles. And then I'm realizing, oh, yeah, we have another storm coming on Friday. And now it's like the double storm, right? You get the double whammy that everybody's cleaned it out and everybody's still scared to death that you're going to eat French toast till August with this 2 inches that we're going to accumulate on Friday. It drove me nuts. It took me 25 minutes to find anything.
Did you find any bunny bread?
No bread. Told you. No bread, no desserts. I've got great brown water that everybody gave me for Christmas. Haven't tapped into any of it.
Man, that's a problem.
But the grocery stores are empty. I mean, you could shoot a bazooka down aisles and not hit anything.
This show needs Al Conklin tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
We don't need Al.
Yeah, you do.
Or all of his...
Your friend Al Conklin.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a
question. I can call my friend David Chanley in Atlanta if we need to bring in some extra...
I know way too many weather people.
I know.
But let me ask you a question.
Yes,
what
sir.
Is a... You know, we like to do what's a bigger number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you what's a bigger number.
Okay.
What is a bigger number? And this is true wherever you're watching us in the country. You can answer this question.
Okay.
What's a bigger number? Local television stations, weather people, the number of them, or the number of analysts Nick Saban has? What's a bigger
number?
Ooh,
whoa.
What's a bigger number? I mean, the weather folks are now like, let's go to Chief Senior Associate Meteorologist Joey Jones. And Joey gets in front of the green screen and goes, well, you know, there's a chance. So this plan B means it goes over here. Plan C, it goes there. Plan D, this model, the European. What's the European model? Why do we care about the European model?
This is, again, why we need these people on the show. Let me offer two thoughts about
weather. How about an American model? We've got a trillion meteorologists at every station, and all they want to talk about is some stupid European model.
Well, there's another model,
forget
too.
Forget the dude in the UK.
There's a GMS model or something like that.
Excuse me?
There's a GMS model or something like
that. They've got all kinds of wonder why they can never get anything right. No idea what they're talking about.
You know, two things I subscribe to about meteorology. Ready?
Yep.
One. If Jim Cantore is broadcasting live from your city, that's not good.
The end is near.
That's number one. That's number one on my list. You know, I mean, like if that cat shows up and I got to meet him a couple times because he lives in Atlanta. And if he broadcasts from your town, that is a bad deal.
It's like 60 minutes ringing your doorbell. That's probably a bad sign.
So you have that. Number two, the more people that cover weather in your particular market, wherever you're watching us from north of Boston, Josh Macri's hometown in the lovely state of Maine, all the way south into Florida, out west to, you know, Michiana, South Bend to Kentucky and on. The more people that cover weather in your market, the more stuff that goes on. Like, and I mean, it's not just the bigger markets, too, because they're smaller, you know, 50 to 100 size television markets still got four or five people in weather.
I've said this before. I've said this for a long time. The weather forecast in a local market.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's New York City or I don't care if it's Topeka, Kansas. Should take 30 seconds.
I know you've said this.
And I swear to God, this is all you want to know when you wake up in the morning. And you're going to watch weather.
High, low.
What's the high? What's the low? And is there a chance of precipitation? That's it. I don't care about your European model. I don't care about your 3D Doppler radar. I don't care that, hey, I live in North Carolina. Let me tell you about the rain in San Francisco yesterday. That does not do anything for me. High, low, chance of rain, and go sit down and let the sports guy get 20 minutes.
All right.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Local models that cover the weather in the United States are the NAM and the HRRR.
Yeah, but that's not nearly as impressive as the European model. It'd be like the BPI when we're breaking
the European model must be one of the global models with worldwide weather forecasts.
Oh, well, that's important to know what's going on in Amsterdam when it's going to chance of rain here in Charlotte.
Let me just say that there are nine different ones that I've been provided by the Lumberjacks this morning.
Fantastic. I still love, though, my favorite scene is when at 11 o'clock news, there is some person standing on a bridge waiting to tell us the storm is within 3 days from now. That's still my favorite. They're on a bridge in the middle of the night, dodging traffic. Like, what are you doing? Get out of the way.
Be careful out there, too, now. You do those live shots on television, you have to be careful.
Speaking of live shots, it's what this is for 3 hours. Can we get to, they actually pay us not to rip the weather, folks. We need to get to business.
All right.
Before you start getting terrible emails from bosses.
And the other thing about today's show is we're on the precipice tonight at 7:30 of yet another top five women's basketball matchup.
This is going to be good.
It will be the 21st Associated Press top five matchup between ACC opponents over the last 20 years. It's the most of any conference.
Yeah,
all other conferences combined have 25 of those.
Yeah. We have kind of cornered the market in this league.
Women's basketball.
Yeah, there's no question. Jeff Walls was on yesterday, and he was great, hilarious, playing the underdog role. Everybody does this day and time, right?
Yeah.
Hey, these are two great teams, man. NC State's loaded. Westmore and the Wolfpack won the last two ACC tournament titles. Louisville, as Coach pointed out yesterday, won the last four regular season models. Mm-hmm. State's won the last two head-to-head. You got strength versus strength in terms of offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency on the other side. If you're not entertained by this game, I'm not sure we can do a whole lot for you because this is the real deal. It's Louisville. It's NC State. The place will be rocking in Raleigh tonight. Standing room only. Can't get a ticket. It'll be intense. Coaches, you know, they got a relationship with each other. They respect each other, needless to say. But, man, this is going to be a tremendous basketball game.
Yeah, be a lot of fun for sure. And it's at 7:30 tonight on ESPN from Reynolds Coliseum, Valbano Arena on KL Court with the Wolfpack and the Cardinals. We will give you a full preview at 8:30. Kelly Gramlich will join us. She will set the stage for what's going to happen tonight. Looking forward to that.
You know, if you think about what's going to happen and transpire in that building in the next 24 hours.
That's right.
Between not only the showdown tonight with NC State
the duels.
And Louisville, and then you've got the Friday duel with Virginia Tech and NC State, both in the top 10 in wrestling on Friday night.
That's right.
It's gonna be, I'm telling you, man, Raleigh's the place to be.
Absolutely.
Raleigh is the place to be the next 24 hours.
Yeah, we're gonna stay with that Friday night duels theme, by the way, here in this first hour. So, excuse me, Trent Hydeley will be here. One of the most decorated wrestlers the ACC has to offer this year.
Now, we've had his brother on before.
Hayden?
Yeah. But we've not had Trent.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the wrestling Hydleys. And, man, can you imagine what mom and dad went through with those guys? Huh?
Well, it's crazy. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean.
I love the wrestlers.
So we are going to, we will do that. We're going to get into that at 7:30 this morning. Kelly Gramlich at 8:30. 9 o'clock hour. Show doesn't stop at 9, goes till 10, and here's why. Isaiah Wong, one of the premier scorers in the ACC, will be here from Miami. And at 9:30, Brennan Armstrong of Virginia makes his triumphant return to the Packer and Durham program.
Yeah, but those gentlemen making their second appearances on the program, as you mentioned, Brennan saying, hey, guess what? I'm coming back for more.
Right.
Makes Tony Elliott and Wahoo Wah fans extremely happy, needless to say. And Isaiah Wong and the Canes, man, they're getting ready for the Noles on Saturday. You talk about another monster game between those two. The first one was awesome at the Tuck. And the way both of them are playing, that would be a great showdown coming up this weekend.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Last night's 7 o'clock start on the ACC Network featured Virginia Tech and NC State playing for basically the second time in 2 weeks, right? The ball game started.
For one team.
Yes, at about 7:01. The Wolfpack joined about on the clock about 4 minutes in.
Yeah, NC State joined the game by the time I found the first water bottle at the Harris Teeter. That was bizarro, boys. 15-0 to start out. How about that?
They missed their first 9 shots from the floor and didn't score until there was 12:37 to go in the first half. So when you spot somebody 15 to then tell you it came down to the end, by the way, never led, but had the ball in their hands on the last possession with a chance to tie, NC State spent all night long coming back from the 15-point deficit. Now, from time they got it to 2 possessions at one time. They even got it to 1 possession. Virginia Tech would extend. Mike Young's team played with some poise. They validated what they did Saturday against Notre Dame, I thought, last night in Raleigh.
100% agree. And they had to, right? We keep waiting on Virginia Tech as we, you know, you look at the analytics. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech still has a shot as far as the big picture goes. For NC State, and I said yesterday, the loser of that game is in trouble. And I think NC State at 2 up and 6 down.
Right.
They got a lot of work to do. I mean, a lot of work to do. And they're not the only ones. But for the Hokies, the flip side, you know what? It kind of puts them in position that, hey, you're going to get multiple opportunities come down the road with the opportunities to see North Carolina. You got Florida State. You got the Duke thing. I mean, so they've got chances to impress the jury, right? But for NC State, man, good Lord. How about winning a game at home, right? They've lost Louisville at home, Clemson at home, Virginia Tech at home. Right. That is not going to get the job done.
No, and the thing about the Wolfpack, it's twofold here. For NC State, we've talked about it. We're to the point where we're going to assume you know the Wolfpack is playing undermanned inside, and it got worse yesterday because before the game it was announced that Ernest Ross will not return this year for the Wolfpack. Ankle injury suffered against Duke. He's out for the remainder of the regular season. So now you've lost Manny Bates and you've lost Ernest Ross. And it is what it is, okay? But you're going to have to find a way to offset because last night, Keve Aluma and Justin Mutz combined for like 20 rebounds, yeah. And you only had 26 as a team.
Right.
It'll be interesting to visit with Kevin Keats somewhere down the road. How do you pivot here? This is the toughest part. When Jim Larrañaga had it hit a year ago at Miami, they teetered a lot, especially with the Wardenburg and the Rodney Miller injuries. Now how does NC State do it? You got enough firepower. I saw enough last night from the Wolfpack, Mark, to lead me to believe they can still be an effective team. But you got to offset the fact you don't have a lot of presence inside. DeJuana is really going to have to be there every night for you.
And you can't spot people 15-point leads.
That too.
I mean, you do that, not in this league, not any league, right. Are you going to be in a good spot from that standpoint. But there, like I said, there's a ton of work to be done in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. At 2 up and 6 down in the standings. But, again, I think Virginia Tech's the one to watch here because the Hokies now go back-to-back. You mentioned how big that win was over the weekend against Notre Dame. Now you get a road win against NC State, a little revenge after losing to them at home, where, by the way, Ross had that spectacular dunk, and it's terrible news that he's out for the year. But now Virginia Tech, you know, you start looking down the road. They got Boston College. Certainly a winnable game for the Hokies, and maybe this is the run that we've been waiting on for Virginia Tech. Maybe it's starting as we speak.
Well, and here's the other thing for the Hokies. At BC, at Carolina, Miami at home, at Florida State. Guess what? Mike Young's team, tough start in the league. As Pac said, though, you have got some credits in your pocket from what you've done, and now you got a chance to – you can get back in this thing between now and February 1st.
Yeah, you got a chance to impress the judges, if you will, here in the next 2 weeks. That's kind of how this works now. But it really is now for the Hokies.
Right.
I mean, you can't have one of those, well, we went 50, you know, we won half, lost half. No, you got to go on a run here. So tag, you're at Virginia Tech. Everybody's going to be watching.
Let's go to Atlanta next. You want to go to Atlanta?
Wherever you want.
All right. First time since 2004. Wake Forest beats Georgia Tech 80-64. It doesn't seem possible, does it? Well, remember, we came out of the round robin in the ACC. We went to an expanded field around that time, and then we finished at 12, and then we threw a couple more teams on the fire, so we're at 15. So they don't play home and home every year. But Alondis Williams, he was pretty good last night, 12 of his 19 in the second half. Deacons post a road win. Forbes missed the game.
Yeah.
One of the great names in basketball, Brooke Savage. Sounds like you ought to have a Saturday morning television show.
Sounds like a Drew Brooks handle on Twitter, Brooke Savage. But more importantly and seriously, we wish Coach Forbes a speedy recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Undisclosed illness in this day and age. Hey, it doesn't matter, COVID, non-COVID, just feel better one way or the other. But his team responded. Mm-hmm. And for the Deacs to win that game, double digits on the road, I kind of feel the same way as I do with the Virginia Tech-NC State game. For Georgia Tech, a lot of work to be done in Atlanta. I mean, you start looking at the standings, what they got going on.
Correct.
Same kind of problems. Inside game, where's that coming from? DeVoe was still good last night. Usher can certainly add some points. And for Wake Forest, hey, kind of sets the scene for a glob showdown between the Deacs and the Tar Heels this weekend in Winston-Salem.
All right. Here's the other thing. I'm going to say this, and we got a little material to back this up. Alondis Williams is as good as it gets in this league right now.
Whoa.
And now there are numbers to prove it.
But you had Mr. Sebron as your
mid-season
player.
I did,
player
but that was before last night.
Okay.
But Alondis Williams, tell you what now, look at these numbers. Look at these numbers. He needs 15 points on Saturday against Carolina to join Jeff Teague and Tim Duncan as the only Wake Forest players since the mid-90s with 400 points in their first 20 games.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
And I'd say if he watches tape of North Carolina against Miami, he's going to probably think he can go for 40, right?
Yeah.
He's a go-to player, man. There's no question about it. He's a problem for everybody in the league.
Well, and I'll say this. If he gets the 15 points and 2 assists on Saturday, he'll be the first player to average 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists in the first 20 games of a season over the last 25 years. Third to do so in a 20-game span. You want to know who the other two are?
Well, I got the info right here on my screen, so it's not really fair to ask me.
Well, you want to tell the viewers.
You can't. It's a bar bet.
Nolan Smith, who did it 4 times. How about that? And one of the great characters and players in ACC basketball, Gravis Vasquez of Maryland. That's some strong, man, that's some strong coffee right there. Alondis Williams.
The games last night, I think, formed a natural glob in our standings.
Okay.
We'll get to that, though.
More on that in a moment. Real quick, Virginia held off Pitt again, 66-61. Not nearly as dramatic as the last time. Cavaliers got a really nice game from Reese Beekman. He had 19 points, 8 of 11 from the floor, 8 assists. He was incredibly efficient. John Hughley, 23 for Pittsburgh. He's great fun to watch anytime. Panthers are playing better, just didn't have anything to show for it last night after the win on against Louisville on Saturday. They'll try again Saturday in our second game of the triple header at Clemson. Virginia, meanwhile, starting to feel the vibe a little bit. Interesting to watch the Cavaliers. Cafaro came in, helped them again last night. Caden Shedrick played well. Interesting to watch Virginia get better. Let's finish with this from Louisville. 67-54, Cards beat BC last night. Pack game was delayed about an hour and 15 minutes because of a leak in the roof.
Hate when that happens.
At the KFC Yum Center. Sidney Curry, who did not play against Pittsburgh because of an ankle injury in practice, 13 points. Nolan Locke. Jalen Withers, who's not been very active, if you will, in their scoring, had a double-figure night as well. So, there you go. Louisville gets Notre Dame on Saturday. That feels big.
Another glob. We got globs. All of a sudden, there's separation. We keep talking about when's there going to be separation in the standings. Well, we got it. Now, we've already talked about Miami and Florida State and Duke, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the top.
Okay.
Then there's this new glob, Wes. Everybody who's got a 4-2 or a 5-3. That's a glob right there. Right? Now, I still think, and again, I got Duke up there at 4-2, but Duke, to me, is kind of one of the elite, right? They got the number beside their name.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole Notre Dame, North Carolina, Louisville, Wake, Virginia, that is the glob. And then everybody else is sub-500 over there on the right side of your screen if you're watching this on television. And I would say if everybody on the right side of the screen, Syracuse, you've got the ultimate opportunity this weekend at Duke. Play hard, right? We're going to have the Boeheim-Krzyzewski matchups and all that stuff.
Yep.
But of everybody on the right-hand side of the screen, Wes?
Right.
I would tell you that right now, this second, on January the 20th, only Virginia Tech feels like they have the it to maybe join everybody else.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I agree. Totally. I think it's a really, really interesting line that got drawn pretty quick. And it does have to do with winning and losing records in ACC play. It's that simple at this point. It's funny that the Virginia Syracuse line, 5-3 to 3-4, we took the 500 teams right out of play, didn't we?
Without question.
Yeah.
Like again, Syracuse has a chance to stir it, but they must win at Duke to be part of that, right?
Yep.
That's the way it looks to me.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
This is where wrestling success begins. In a sweltering room of physical and mental competition.
The practice room is where you can see your gains and you get your main focus and you get to fine tune your technique. That's our lab.
All the coaches can see you no matter where you are in the room.
You can't hide.
No, you really can't. Nice. And you have to fight all the time because whoever you're wrestling wants to push you in the bikes, in the wall, into someone else, and you can't allow that to happen.
Take what you learn in the lab and apply it to the mat. Friday night, the Wolfpack will host Virginia Tech in a battle of top 10 teams. Two programs that have each won 4 ACC championships in the last 9 years.
this is the clash of who's top dog in the ACC and who's going to go out there right at that moment, our first ACC duel, and make a statement.
Feed Tech, after all that talking and then how last year ended up, that's definitely a rival.
A year ago, the Pack's lone loss was in Blacksburg. Friday night, the Hokies are here.
And now we have a chance to get redemption in our home.
And Reynolds Coliseum will be rocking with ear-piercing noise and an energy that adds fuel to the fire.
Especially when we go out and win a match and the crowd's rowdy on their feet screaming, ah, let's go, Wolfpack, doing the chant. I think that gives us momentum. We feel like we have a force behind us. There's an army behind us, and we're not alone when we go out there.
Some Wolfpack wrestlers have been in that rowdy Reynolds environment. Some have not.
I haven't really got to experience a huge duel like that. I mean, last year, there were some big duels in Reynolds, but we didn't have a crowd.
Do you feel a need to protect your house?
Yes. I don't want someone in here coming in, beating us.
Hey, listen, this is my home. I'm a defender with everything I got, and I will not let you come in here and think you're going to run this. No, this is not the year. This is not going to happen. This is the house, and we're going to protect it.
I love the duels, man. Friday duels, that's like my favorite thing on ACC Network.
Ready to go, aren't you?
I am. And listen, these two are beast, NC State and Virginia Tech. Beast. It's going to be awesome.
Let's go to Raleigh. Trent Heidley is a sophomore from the mean streets, and I mean the mean streets of Mifflin County High School in Pennsylvania. He'll be on Friday night duels tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern. Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison will be there for us. Trent, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's get to it. We got some business to attend to before we get to some business tomorrow night. I want everybody to see what you're wearing, man. You should showcase the goods here.
Yeah, I'm rocking the Brothers of Destruction gear. That's me and Hayden on there. It's been one of our branding opportunities this past year. When the NIL rules came out, we wanted to make some gear. And when Hayden announced he was returning last year and moving up to 174, we were going to be back in the lineup together, and we were going to go as Brothers of Destruction for one last year. So we're rocking with it.
Love everything about that. And as soon as we saw you sit down, I was like, dude, we got to get our hands on some of this. So how do folks go about doing it? Because, name, image, and likeness is all about marketing. We'll get to the duel here in a second. But we got to get those things printed up, man, because people are going to see you now on television and go, Brothers of Destruction, man. We got to get a piece of this. This sounds great.
Yeah, so we, about a month ago, we had an online store that had the gear open, but we can put it back up for sale again if people are interested. If people want the stuff, we can get it back up. And I think before the postseason, before the NCAA tournament, we definitely want to put some stuff out there for our fans to get a hold of. And any way they want to support us is great. And if they want to rock with the Brother of Destruction, then come along. Tour's open.
Trent, I will tell you this. You need to save one of those hoodies for my man here.
I'm buying one.
I know you'll buy it, but just make sure there's one. Just make sure there's one left in the inventory of the Heidley warehouse there for Packer to rock one of those, because that will definitely make the show. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely hang it up in the. You got to hang it up beside the banner back there behind you.
Well, I could do that. I was just going to wear it, man.
Well, I was hoping you'd have the headgear on today.
See. What a mischance.
You know what? You go ask a question, and I'll go get it.
All right.
I got it sitting around.
Do you know where it is?
Yeah, I think I know where
it is. You sure?
Because we got all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
All right, Trent, here's where we want to go.
By the way, though, Pat gave us a singlet, too. Don't think about it, bro.
The singlet.
I will rock the Brothers of Destruction, but the singlet's not happening, Coach.
All right. Yeah.
We might want to save the fans.
Yeah. It's a family show.
How about me? Forget the fans. I can't live through wearing that thing. That would be a disaster.
All right. I want to ask you the bigger picture here. We just saw the video that had our great friend Jeff Gravely narrating it, talking about the wrestling room. How much of this right now is preparation? I mean, when you get it ready to Virginia Tech tomorrow night, everybody knows Reynolds will rock. It's a great match. It's a great duel. Tony Roby's got an unbelievable program. You guys got an unbelievable program. But how much of this is preparation to get to tomorrow night before the duel ever happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the preparation's probably already done at this point for a duel tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Last week, we didn't have a match, so that gave us the opportunity to really train hard. The beginning of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we trained really hard, and we pushed the conditioning a little bit. So now we're in a position where we're in really good shape. Our weight's good, our weight's down. So now it's just kind of fine-tuning a few things. Kind of think of today as almost like what a walkthrough for a football team would be right. like on a Friday before a Saturday game. So we'll get into the room this morning, just be real crisp, everything explosive, get in and out, everybody feeling good, the vibes are great. So it's more at this point just really fine-tuning a few things and getting mentally ready for a big showdown tomorrow.
All right, I want to go back to the fact you've won your last 8 straight. Hayden's won 37 straight duels. Tariq Wilson, 13 straight. Ed Scott's won 8 straight. What is it about the duel environment that gets different than, you know, when it's a conference meet, the Nationals, you know, even the stuff you do in the offseason with the world team and the national team in that light? What makes the duel different mentality-wise?
Yeah, I think as a team, NC State, over the past few years, we've taken a lot of pride in the dual meet schedule and what duels mean for our team. Obviously, at the end of the year, you're graded on where you place at the NCAA tournament and how well your team does. But we do take a lot of pride in being a really strong dual team. And over the past few years, we've been a top 5, top 8 dual team every year. So that's something that we get really excited about and our coaches get us really excited about. And to be able to do that in front of a really packed crowd at Reynolds is really special to us. You know, flashback, you know, last year we weren't really able to have those big duels. But the year before that, my first year in the lineup, it was, you know, those are some of the best memories I've made in wrestling. And those are things I'll always remember is walking into the UNC duel and just being amazed by how many people in North Carolina are here to see us wrestle. Yeah. So it's important for me that we take these seriously, and believe me, both sides are going to be coming head hunting tomorrow night. And that makes it a really fun environment, and we're going to be ready to go.
Trent, I said in Raleigh, man, it's the place to be, because tonight you got NC State Louisville women's basketball, pair of teams in the top 4 in the country, and then 24 hours later, here come the Hokies. I mean, I'm telling you right now, to get a ticket in Raleigh to be in Reynolds tonight or tomorrow night is going to be something else. And, you know, you talked about no fans last year. I still remember that match a year ago because my wife and I drove up to Virginia to buy some carpet, and the guy that was putting the rug into our truck said, man, I was watching the duels last night. The guy, he didn't know me from the man on the moon, and he could not talk enough about the duel. And I'm like, hey, man, Friday nights in the ACC on ACC Network, wrestling, it's become the place to be. And what better way to start things off, though, with NC State and Virginia Tech? I mean, it really doesn't get any bigger right now in the ACC than these two seeing each other, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And I think you said it. The ACC on Friday night for wrestling is becoming a thing that's really fun to watch, and it's what fans want to see. It's interesting for me coming from a place up north that's, you know, wrestling's popular wherever you go, and in North Carolina it's not as popular. But to see the growth of the fans for our school, or not just our school, but for UNC and Duke and App State, I believe there's 6 or 7 D1 programs in North Carolina, so it's a big deal, and wrestling's becoming popular, and it's to have, like you said, we got the NC State women's basketball team. They're a top team in the country. They're looking to bring home a national title, and then we're doing the same. And I think the pack mentality goes across all sports in our department right now, and everyone's hungry to win. And I think that's really fun to be a part of. But Friday nights, that belongs to ACC wrestling, and that's something that we're really pumped up about.
So let's be honest. How's he doing with the headgear here? What do you think, Trent?
Good look.
Well, I'd like to see the chin strap on a little bit. I think we need to adjust it a little bit.
Why did you say that, Trent?
Hey, believe it or not, our coaches have to put us through drills sometimes where our headgear, they start with our headgear over our eyes because guys don't know how to adjust it. So don't beat yourself up too bad. Some guys have been wrestling for 20 years, still don't know how to wear them.
Let me tell you something. When I get my Brothers of Destruction sweatshirt, that'll be the least of my problems. Here's what I want to know, though. With your brother rocking, you're rocking. Growing up, man, your parents had to just go, for crying out loud, were you two over there behaving? I mean, what was that like? Because, I mean, I just got to figure two wrestlers in the family, they had their hands full.
Yeah, and not just two wrestlers. We got an older brother that's 2 years older than Heath, and my younger sister is 3 years younger than me. So, I mean, it was constant chaos in that household. Props to my parents for making it through alive with us growing up. But yeah, we probably had our fair share of damage to home good appliances and all that. But I think it breeded tough people, and their expectation for us was always to work really hard and be passionate about what you do. And family is a really important thing to me. And to be able to share this journey with Hayden has been really special. And the support that we've gotten from our family through the past few years has been incredible. We have a big crowd coming down for the match tomorrow night. They travel really well. So it's a family affair. We're excited to do it together. But the expectation from our parents has always been to reach really high levels and do what you love and really embrace your passion and see how far you can take it. So it's really a blessing to be able to do it with Hayden, and for his last year, we're just soaking up all we can out of this.
That is really cool. Family first, without question. By the way, what was between you and Hayden? give me a for instance of you two, you devious dudes, Brothers of Destruction. What was the thing that you destroyed the most? I mean, there had to be something where you both.
There's got to be a couch that just absolutely went, all got
right,
crushed.
Hey, mom and dad will never know. Yeah. Right? There had to be something, geez. Right? What's the number one on that list?
I guess, man, I think our furniture probably had a lifespan of about 2 years in our house. I feel like every summer my mom had to get on the catalog and start looking for some couches and stuff, new lamps, probably lamps, honestly.
Lamps?
It's a miracle. It's a miracle if we had any light bulbs go longer than about 2 months without getting smashed or something.
You guys just taking out stuff in the house? I mean, you know, now it's fun to talk about it, and everybody thinks, well, they're, you know, wrestlers in the house, so, you know, they're going to, you know, jack around and all this other stuff. But literally, are you guys, horseplay becomes, you know, hey, I got to work on a move here, and next thing you know, you guys are grappling right there in the living room in front of the big screen?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think there was too many sanctioned moves going on when we'd start getting into it. It was more of me throwing, more of me throwing fist as hard as I can, and then him trapping me down and holding me down until I'd stop. But there's actually a pretty funny story I always like to tell. I think when I was about 10 years old, Hayden would have been 12 or 13 at this point, and there was kind of like a state park that was probably 25 minutes away, and my mom used to always take us and our friends there to hang out, and there was a little beach area with a lake. And this one day, there was a news station there that was covering, it was like a family day, and about halfway through family day, Hayden and I are fighting in the sand. I'm crying, punching as hard as I can. He did something to me, and I took it out on him, and my mom freaked out on us because the news station was there covering a fun family day, and here we are like idiots rolling around the sand trying to kill each other.
Fun at the state park.
Hey, keep it in the family. Yeah. That's how it works. Since you're making your debut, and Hayden's already gotten a head start here on the show, here's our traditional question, Trent. Since you've been at NC State, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class, that's funny you say that. So my freshman year, I had a History of the Middle Ages class that I had to take as one of my electives. And I didn't really think it would be too hard. I always kind of liked history. But my teacher was pretty tough. I noticed that early on. And we had a midterm exam. Part of it was a take-home essay you had to bring in, and then the other half was the actual exam. And I felt pretty comfortable with it. And I got my grade back, and I got like a 65 on it. And I was like, man, I've never got anything lower than a 75 in my entire life. What is going on? Like, am I going to fail out of college? But I went to her office hours, and she laid it on me pretty hard. And ever since then, I had a good relationship with her, and I worked really hard and ended up getting an A minus. But it was a lot of work. It was a tough class. Definitely something I wasn't prepared for, but I learned a lot from it.
Wait a second. You mean the 4.0 out of high school took a 65 in history of the Middle Ages, and the next thing you know, all of a sudden your entire academic career is flashing in front of your eyes? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I'm in total panic mode, wondering if I have what it takes to be in college, and then things work itself out. We get a lot of help here, and luckily I was able to right the ship a little bit.
All right.
Well, good luck tomorrow night, man. We can't
great to have you on,
wait
man.
To watch. And we told folks the last couple of years, Friday nights
this
on ACC Network is all about the duels. And, I mean, we got NC State, Virginia Tech tomorrow night. It's going to be out of sight. We wish you the best. And good luck with that sweatshirt deal now. Brothers of Destruction, we'll do all we can to help you out on that one.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. We'll get you hooked up.
Sounds good.
Trent Hidley of NC State. It's the Wolfpack and the Hokies tomorrow night right here on ACC Network. Let's quickly show you the schedule of Friday night duels. I mean, this is as easy as it gets. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Virginia, NC State tomorrow night. Following Friday, North Carolina, Virginia, then Dukes at Virginia Tech, then NC State, Pittsburgh. You don't think that won't be any good?
They're all going to be good.
At the old place, the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse, and then North Carolina, NC State on February 18th in Reynolds.
I'm telling you, Friday nights, we've been branding this bad boy for 2 years now, and the action's great. It's intense.
Yep.
And the league's good. We got four teams basically in the top 20, if you will, but NC State and Virginia Tech tomorrow is no joke. That'd be great.
Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison have our coverage for you tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock, and Rock is worth the price of the view in addition to the great wrestling.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Brothers of Destruction. You know what?
Fired up now, aren't you?
Again, you know I love this stuff. Yeah. This is show 547. We have never had a bad wrestler, whether it be a coach or a wrestler, on our interviews.
There you go.
Not one.
That's
ever.
It.
All right, there it is. That's all I got for that.
All right, Louisville, NC State tonight. Jeff Walls and Alyssa Cunane, respectively, of the Cards and Wolfpack, joined us earlier this week. We start with Coach Walls, asking him about his relationship with Wes Moore, in case you missed it.
Wes has done a great job. He is a good friend of mine. And, you know, I'm still upset with him. I think it was 28 years ago, we were both working the camp at Clemson for Jim Davis. And he was at Francis Marion and had an assistant position open. And I applied for it, and he would not hire me. You know, I told Wes if he had given me that chance, they may have changed the school from Francis Marion to Wes Moore. I mean, you never know, but he didn't give me the time or day.
Not that you're keeping score, right? I mean, 28 years ago, but nevertheless, but that is going to be
That's
some
right.
kind of – the atmosphere tomorrow night will be great, right? And the players love that too, right? I mean, you know, we had Cunane on yesterday, and I said, listen, I know you want to play at home, but – great teams love going on the road. I've always found that to be true, regardless of sport. When you know you are really, really that kind of team, you kind of like, it's great to play from the home crowd, obviously, but you really love taking it on the road where people are talking about your mama and you can't do this and you can't go to your left. I mean, that's when you really, hey, it's us against the world. Let's go play. And you know you're walking into a great environment tomorrow night.
There's no question about that. And that's what's exciting. And we talk to our players about it all the time. You know, it's going to be a great game for women's basketball. For anybody that turns that TV on that might not be a everyday women's basketball fan, you're going to see a packed house environment. You're going to see a full house. It's going to be a great crowd, two teams that have very talented players who are going to compete. No matter what the score is, it's going to be a competitive game where players are going to be giving everything they have. And as coaches, the fun part for, I think, for both Wes and I is once the game gets going and then we get a chance to try to play chess back and forth. Mm. Because I think it's going to be like our ACC final last year where it's going to come down to the last two or three possessions and then who can execute. Because at the end of the day, guys, as coaches, we get way too much credit when things go well, because it's the players. You know, we have to put them in positions to be successful, But the players are the ones that are going out there and executing.
I know you've won back-to-back ACC championships. I know everybody wants to get to the Final Four, win a national championship. But, you know, these are the kind of games I think everybody who loves basketball anticipates. And I know that is no different in that locker room, that you look forward to playing Louisville.
Yeah, for sure. We've had some great matchups with them over the years in the tournament and in regular season. So we just have to get up for this game like we would an ACC game or future tournament game.
In a game like this, how big a deal is home court when you have two really, really good teams?
You know, now that we're able to have Reynolds packed out this year, I think it's a huge difference and a huge advantage for us to play on our home court. But I think before, you know, I mean, you can see ranked 3 and 4, but we've been underdogs going in to play them at number one and then coming into even the championship, AC championship, underranked. So I think this year it's kind of like, as a whole season, we aren't really underdog anymore. Everybody knows our name. Everybody knows who we are. So now it's just upon us to go out there and perform. And I'm excited we get to do it in Raleigh.
You know what I love about this game tomorrow night? It's strength versus strength. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know two top four teams. I get all that stuff. But NC State offensively, terrific. You guys are the number one defensive efficiency team in the country. And when you've got two big-time teams, coaches, players, and it's a strength versus strength matchup, man, grab your popcorn. It just, I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Coach?
No, it sure is. I mean, it's a ball game tomorrow, which we've talked to our players about. It's not the end-all of end-all. No matter what happens Thursday night, we're going to have to come back and play Wake Forest on Sunday here at home. Mm-hmm. At the same time, this is a game that I think we could possibly see each other two more times.
I know you hear coaches all the time talk about, well, hey, it's one game. You don't get too high. You don't get too low. Playing Louisville, ranked number three, is no different than playing Virginia or Wake Forest or whatever. Come clean. Is that true or not? Yes or no?
Is it true? Yes. But is it also easier to get up for the bigger games, you know, playing the number three team in the country, let alone that it's Louisville? So I think we're definitely going to get up for this game. And honestly, I think one of our faults this season has been not getting up for every single game as if it were a big game like this. So I think coming out strong this game and then just keeping that energy for the rest of the season.
The idea here is the familiarity factor with Louisville and NC State's got to be pretty high, right? I mean, the scouting report, there may be some wrinkles here or there, but everything's pretty well known, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of true for anybody in the ACC as well. You play them once, maybe twice every year. So you get really familiar, especially over 4 years. Like, you know everybody and you know their ins and outs. So it's always a really tough game to play.
Do you sense a difference with a coach? I mean, we just had him on the show last week. He knows his team's good. He knows you guys are going to be prepared, ready to roll. But do you get any sense of, hey, this is a really big game and coach is different? Or is he same deal each and every week?
You can definitely tell when he's getting up a little bit more for games. So we'll find that out in practice today when we go in there. And he's a little bit more on edge, being a little bit more meticulous than usual. But it's all for the best. He just wants us to fulfill our potential.
It just seems like there's so much carryover, so much continuity from a year ago. But yet I know it there's got to be some difference to it, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it is different. I think we have a lot more depth this year, which allows for more people wanting playing time and more people able to get playing time and contribute to the team. And I think that definitely shifts team dynamics and just different personalities on the team as well. So this team is different, yeah, but not the less greater.
In my opinion, from being in this league and coaching against Wes as long as I have been, I think it's the best team he's had. I truly believe they are a Final Four caliber team. He's got the guard play. He's got the wings. He's got the post. And, you know, as I joke with Wes, if he doesn't screw it up, you know, I expect to see them in that Final Four.
There you go. Screw it up.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a great game tonight.
Sure is.
Looking forward to it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.